Hello, I'm Jim Cornell, and this is the WalkingPost.com podcast. WalkingPost.com is the news website dedicated to walking, with all the latest on events, trails, gear, festivals, and more. This podcast, number 16, is going out on June the 13th, but no ordinary 13th, it's one of those Friday the 13ths, which for some is the worst kind of day there is, and for others they could care less. Personally, I'd never considered it to be an issue until one fateful Friday the 13th about 15 years ago when I was running an aquarium in Canada. We closed at 5 and the last visitors had gone, so we started closing. I'd sent all but one of the staff home and we started the closing routines. And then there was a creaking noise coming from downstairs, kind of like the wood on a ship in the wind. And then there was an almighty crash, which was the sound of seawater flooding from the tallest tank. It was one that was designed for the level to go up and down like the tide, to show the height of the tides throughout the day. And it held tens of thousands of gallons. Only now it didn't, because most of it was on the gallery floor. It hadn't broken, but the sealant at the bottom of the tank had given way under the pressure. And so, when we went downstairs, we were knee-deep in seawater. We didn't lose any creatures, but it took until about 6 a.m. the next morning to clean up, once we'd got as many staff as we could to come and help out. Anyway, June the 13th, on a different note, is International Axe Throwing Day. And if you miss and hit someone, it's also Sewing Machine Day. It's Blame Someone Else Day, but I'm not responsible for that. And apparently it is Wear Blue Day. And while you can't see, I am wearing an orange shirt. It does have a blue logo, though. Born on this day were Mexican composer Carlos Chavez, actor Tim Allen, singer David Gray, and lots of others. We finally got some filming done on our long-distance path video series last weekend, which was fun, and while we were on the beach filming, I kid you not, a gravestone, my son found part of an old glass Heinz ketchup bottle. You'd think that would be the end of it, but technology being what it is these days, we looked it up when we got home, and there's a PDF you can download with all the details of all of the glass bottles Heinz ever made. So it turns out that this particular one was made in Pennsylvania in the US between 1918 and 1943. What would we do without the internet? Quite an interesting find, although it would have been better had it been a complete bottle. This week I was at the outdoor show in Liverpool and I decided to take the train. Just the one cancellation on the way down and one very late train on the way back. And that was a train full of loud primary school students, vaping teenage girls, two older ladies drinking Buckfast and singing at the tops of their voices, and two men arguing loudly. Maybe it's the car again next year. It was very warm in England, which I'd not really expected, but more about the show. It's a 3-day event and it's primarily for suppliers of outdoor gear to showcase their products so stores and sellers to the public can get good deals and improve and refresh their stock. So there are tents, mountain climbing gear, boots, clothing, maps, gadgets, smartwatches, food, surfing equipment, you name it, it's there. Of course, I was there pretty much to get some interviews, and I do have two short ones for you today. The main point of it there is really to do deals and not to talk to people like me from the media, so I have set up a few for the coming weeks. We shall see if they actually happen. But it's always good to walk around and chat with new people. There were more exhibitors than there were last year, and I spoke to quite a few that were attending for the first time. There were some neat products and some great shoes that I really wanted to get, but sadly not my size. So I have to either wait for them to make bigger sizes or do something about my extra large big toes. I even saw a bandana that I really liked in spite of never having worn one, and it would probably just look ridiculous anyway. Some of the big names in attendance were Garmin, Raab, Deuter, and lots of others, but it would have been nice to have seen even more of the big names. One thing that's really changed is when I started going to trade shows, probably around 20 years ago, you'd talk to people. Now a lot of the staff at booths are too busy on their phones or computers to talk to you. You can stand there trying to make eye contact and they just never look up. Not all of the booths were like that, but there were still quite a few that were. Anyway, I did enjoy it. Although because I did get back to the station a couple of hours earlier than I'd planned, I wasn't allowed to change my ticket to an earlier train unless I paid an extra £80. No. So let's start talking about this week's podcast. And first, that means talking about last week's, because our conversations last time were about two festivals, the Moray Walking and Outdoor Festival in northeast Scotland and the Castlebar International 4 Days Walks in Western Ireland. This week we're talking to two exhibitors at the outdoor show, John Blower from the Milford Collection, talking about a new product they are carrying that helps keep the bugs away, and a company looking to get a foothold in the UK market, Manashlu, which has some beautiful clothing, mostly jumpers, from Nepal. And we spoke with the director of the company, Rahul Shakya. Of course, before we get to those interviews, let's take a quick look at some of this week's articles on walkingpost.com. And it was a very busy week on the news front. In fact, some of them I held over until next week. If you do have news, guest ideas or comments, please get in touch via walkingpost.com, or you can just email me, jim@walkingpost.com. So, it's time for a brief recap of some of the headlines of the news articles you may have missed that we had on walkingpost.com this past week. We had a look at the top 7 Asian cities to explore on foot. There's a new national nature reserve in Kent, and Vodafone has added a step counter to its official Glastonbury Festival app. Swedish brand Haglöfs is looking to expand in Poland. There is a new video game being launched, and it's a strategy game where you run a hiking and skiing lodge in the Alps, which looks like a lot of fun. The English Coast Path has seen improvements to the route completed in Cornwall and Dorset. And another really interesting one, an article on how climate change is pushing travellers to walking holidays in cooler places, and they are being dubbed coolcations. In Scotland, the Kelty Walks and Talks group is celebrating its anniversary and has also launched a new walking action plan. Taiwan is taking action to reduce the number of walking accidents in the forests there with more signage and more smartphone hotspots. There's a new walking route on Walney Island, which, if you don't know where that is, and I had to look it up as well, is across from Barrow-in-Furness in Cumbria. There are new walking maps available for visitors to a park in Scunthorpe, Lincolnshire, and you can read all of these and more at walkingpost.com. And I guess that brings us to our conversations this week. Both of the interviews are from the outdoor show I attended in Liverpool this week, which, ironically, considering it's called the outdoor show, is indoors in an arena. I'm always looking for interesting stories when I wander around, and one that caught my eye was a booth filled with attractive patterned chunky jumpers or sweaters that looked warm and very interesting. The company is called Manashlu Clothing Limited. It's looking to get into the UK market, and its director is Nepal native and resident Rahul Shakya.
So could you first maybe tell me a bit about the company?
Actually, my name is Rahul Shakya, and our company name is called Manashlu. And we got this name because it sounds very mountainous, and actually the Manashlu means in our language spirit of mountain. So we attracted to that name, and we are we make only winter garments, which is for the winter. You know, when you think of winter, you always think of mountains. So we decided to put that name. And this is our first time coming to the show. And we have already have few contacts that they want to buy from us, which is they're interested in. And these products are, it's nice products. I've done these products before also. And it's really good selling in the market.
Right. What are they made from?
These are made from wool, 100% wool. The wool is imported from New Zealand, and we spin it in Nepal, and we turn that into yarn. And all knitted, dyeing, everything is done in Nepal.
Right. And where are you selling your products?
Actually, our major market is in the UK. I've been in this business since last 35 years, and I've been supplying to UK since last 30 years. From 2015 till 2020, we were supplying to JD Sports, but that is more sports like t-shirts and sweatshirts. And apart from that, we do these wool products.
All right. Yeah. What is it about the UK that likes this kind of product?
The UK, we have a long history between Nepal and England. Because UK once was, because we have supplied a lot of armies to UK, like Gurkhalis. And we have a long relationship. You know, and our second largest foreigners come to Nepal are British. We get about 150,000 British every year to our country. So we are connected to more to British people. And I don't know, I've been here since last 35 years, and my business hasn't stopped since then.
Mm. And I think the design of Nepalese clothing is very attractive as well.
The designs are definitely attractive to the UK market. Because UK market also, I would say like out of 12 months, I would say 7 months to 8 months are colder months. So people love to wear woolen products. And that's how the market is always there for us.
Right. Are these new? Is it all new?
For Monashulu, this is new. For myself, I've been doing this product since last 35 years.
They're very thick and very sturdy.
Yes, because this is the character of our garment. It's a chunky knit. People love to wear, you know, it's insulated inside. And when you wear it, it's very warm.
Mm. Yeah, and very fashionable as well. It's,
yeah, kind of fashionable, so yes.
Mm. Do you sell direct to the public, or do you sell?
Actually, we sell to retailers. And retailers will sell to the consumers. And we also sell to, we're trying to get agents or distributors for our product.
Right. So is that sort of companies, or could individual shops, like some of the tourist shops in Scotland?
Individual stores. It could be a store with like 5-6 stores, and it could be different chain stores also.
All right. And do you do for children and adults as well?
Not yet. We do only for people who are over 35 to 50 or 60 years old, because the young people, they wear different than, you know, this type of product.
The young people don't even bother about the cold. They do. They just wear a t-shirt.
T-shirt and sweatshirts.
Yeah. And so it's really just this that you sell. You're not making other products. Just these.
No, we do other products as a manufacturer.
Yeah.
But for the company, Monashulu, this is our major strength of our product.
All right. And how often do you introduce new designs?
New designs every 6 months. We change our designs. You know, we do for high winter and the beginning of the winter. In the beginning of the winter, we do like soft, not very heavy products, like no lining inside, you know, it's gonna be sweater. But after that, like after November, December, we're gonna do very, very heavy ones, for the winter.
I definitely wish them the best of luck, although with quality and attractive designs and coming from Nepal, I guess you can't go wrong. Nepal always does conjure up an image of the mountains. I don't know what they get for bugs in Nepal, but in certain parts of the UK, at certain times of year, midges are an issue. And around the world, there are various other names like no-see-ums, moose flies, sandies, punkies, and even five-o's. Some are worse than others, but they are all annoying, and sometimes the bites can really cause problems. There are things you can do after the fact, but beforehand is a lot easier. There are products like DEET, but many people will shy away from chemicals. But one natural product that has always been used against these critters is citronella. You can get it in various forms, like candles, but one company in Wales, called the Milford Collection, has introduced some cool and trendy citronella wristbands, as well as sticks that you can hang from a tent, or maybe your backpack. To tell us about the new products is John Blower from the Milford Collection.
Could you tell me a bit about the product?
Yeah, so we've introduced two new products for the outdoor show. We've got the citronella bug bands, which are completely natural, all infused with essential oils, deep free. So they've got citronella, lemongrass and eucalyptus in, 12 in a pack. Each band will last up to 300 hours, and they're just to repel mosquitoes, midges, wasps, sandflies, all sorts of things. You just pop it on your arm or both wrists or ankles, and they do work really well. I used to get bitten so much, but since wearing these, nothing, absolutely nothing at all. So it's been really good.
And how long did you say they last?
Each band will last up to 300 hours, so more than enough for your holiday abroad. You can wear it in the UK for sports. It's a really, really good strong scent, and it does really work well. And then following on from that, we introduce some tent scents, which you hang in your tent, your caravan, your camper van, motorhome, or just pop around your house. And again, it's scented with citronella, so it keeps your tents fresh, and it also, again, repels mosquitoes and all the things you don't want coming in your tent, basically. So yeah, just two completely new products for us, completely different market, but good, strong products, I think.
Yeah, well, what's your usual market?
My dad started his business in 1985, so this is our 40th year. We actually have over 2,000 different giftware lines, so we're a giftware manufacturer, distributor. We do ceramics, glassware. We've just bought two jewellery companies, which again is new for us, but it's going really well. It's the right sector for it. We're normally just an everyday giftware company. So these fit into that role because they will sell well in our garden centre and gift shop customers who we're already in. But I think the outdoor market could be a whole new sector for our company. We do a lot of Christmas as well. So we're looking for a product that will do well in the summer months when generally giftware does go a bit quieter when people are buying plants and looking at their gardens. So we're looking for something for the summer to tie us over till our Christmas line starts to get delivered.
All right. And how did you come up with the idea for these?
Well, I saw the bug bands I saw on Amazon, and they were the number one, and still are the number one selling item in healthcare. So in the same category as vitamins, ibuprofen, Panadol, weight gain. They're all under the same category, but the bug bands were the number one seller, and it said he'd sold 50,000 units in a month, which it's huge, really. It's a big market. But we've never seen them in garden centres or gift shops. They only sell direct to consumer. So I just thought we could try release our own brand and go down our usual route of business to business selling. It has started to go well. Pharmacies have started to do well with it, but that's where the idea came from. There is already similar products, but only online, basically. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And in the tent sense, we do a Christmas version with cinnamon and orange, and you basically hang it from fake trees at Christmas to give them a bit of a scent. So the idea came from the cinnamon and orange winter spice sticks to do a summer version and also a repellent with citronella. So that's where the idea for that one came from. and also we entered it into the Gift of the Year this year, and it got to the top three, so it was a finalist in Gift of the Year as well, the 10 cents that was.
And is it just like a hook?
Yeah, so basically in the pack you get six sticks and you get six hooks, and you literally just hang them wherever you want them.
So I suppose you could use those when you're walking, hang them off your backpack.
You can hang them
off your hat. Or...
Yeah. And again with the bug bands, you can tie them to your backpack. So again, they could almost work together in a way. Yeah, so they could also be for the walking market. But yeah, mainly to just hang in your tent or your camper van wherever you parked up, and it should keep it smelling fresh and anything nasty away. That's the idea anyway.
Can you get them online, or is it just in shops?
They will be online. We don't tend to sell too much directly to the public because we don't want to compete with our customers. But yeah, we're starting to get them into more retailers now who sell online. So yes, they will be available online, yes.
All right. What do they retail for, roughly?
Well, the bug bands retail at $9.99, and that's for a pack of 12. And the 10 cents retail for $5.99.
So good prices. When you had the idea, how did you get from the idea to the product?
I went out and I tried to find a supplier, and we normally do that online and just basically spend time trawling through different suppliers on different websites. Yeah, and basically I found a supplier who made similar products to the bug bands, and then started from there. We sent her our designs for the packaging, what we wanted, what colours we wanted the bands to be, and it just went from there. The 10 cents were from an existing, the same supplier who does our winter spice sticks. We gave him the idea, and then he ran with it, and we ended up with, it was exactly what we were thinking, so he did a good job on the design of that.
Right. And they're not sort of unfriendly chemicals either, are they?
No, it's all completely natural. I mean, the 10 cents, when you read the ingredients, it's just plant-based extracts. The bug bands are DEET-free. Nobody likes DEET. It's not a nice chemical. So yeah, completely DEET-free for all the family, kids, and anyone can wear them. Yeah.
Yeah, and how's it been going so far?
We've had some very good inquiries. It'll only take one customer to make the show worthwhile for coming. But we've given out a lot of samples, so it's been good to just get and ask for feedback on them. So it's definitely been worth being here. But the products themselves, I mean, we've only introduced them this year, and they're starting to sell in pharmacies. As I said, they've started to really take off. We've designed the packaging to almost look a bit like sun cream, like that sort of sector. So the idea is, sun cream is a staple in your suitcase, and we're hoping that we can make the bug band similar. When you go on holiday, it's a must-have item to go in your suitcase, yeah. Basically, yeah.
And we're not quite at summer yet anyway, so it's...
We're not quite at summer, but they are for all year round as well, because you get nasty things all year round, and people go away for winter sun as well. So they are an all year round product, mainly summer, but they should be sellable all year round, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and if pharmacies are putting them with the sun cream,
yes,
in that sort of area, it's when they stick them in somewhere that,
yes,
is completely irrelevant. That's
exactly
when you have a problem.
I mean, that's what we want. But also, the way we've designed the CDUs, it's a perfect item to have on tills in garden centres, in gift shops. So yeah, we've got a nice CDU to go with it. We're just hoping to get them in as many places as we can. And as Dad keeps telling people, the bug bands actually work. I mean, that's the thing. It's easier to sell when I know I've used them myself. I've got a friend who used to get bitten all the time, and she reacted badly when she got bitten. She got blistered and all sorts. She's gone on holiday. She's had three packs of us now, and she's used them. Like, she's put a couple on. She's had no bites since she started using them, and she used to get bitten 20, 30 times, and she's had no bites whatsoever the last two holidays she's had. So it's a good line, and it's not a gimmick, exactly. It's not a gimmick.
Yeah. Well, they'll be useful for the midges that we get in Scotland, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. For sport, fishing, cycling, running.
I've been bitten a lot over the years, so I'm definitely going to give these a try, especially when midge season comes around here in Scotland. I'll be ready. Because the interviews were a little bit shorter this week, it gives me another opportunity to rant about a walking pet peeve. And this one I'm going to call the Gear Gurus. In fact, at the show I was talking to somebody about exactly this, and we'd had pretty much the same experiences. Now, there's nothing wrong with liking and even buying nice things. And when it comes to outdoor gear, some of it is definitely nice. And it's also possibly designer. Some of it can be very expensive. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure there are some people who go out walking simply to show off what they're wearing. And you can see them coming. It's always pristine clothing. It looks like it's the first time that it's ever been worn. And it also looks like at the first sign of a puddle, they will either turn around or get a servant to lie down in the puddle while they walk over them. A couple of winters ago, we even saw a couple where the woman had walking poles, and I kid you not, they were not adjusted and they weren't even touching the ground. Possibly that was because it might get them dirty. The other thing is that these gear gurus invariably never speak to you. They also try extremely hard to never look at you, but they do want you to look at them and their designer sunglasses and take note of all 17 expensive logos on display. And, of course, they want you to get well out of their way, just in case you're walking quickly and you might inadvertently splash a bit of mud onto their white leggings. And they're often talking loudly and laughing as they walk, and their backpacks sag very close to the body, which makes it look like there's actually nothing in it. I'm sure you have encountered this species of walker, and I'm not really sure actually what we can do about them, other than to try and engage them in conversation. Oh, only 3 hours to the top, watch out for the cows and the sheep poo, or try and get them to walk in the muddiest part of the path. Maybe I'm just jealous. Oh, and I forgot, another telltale sign is that they smell like that section of the airport duty-free that they force you to walk through, with all of the expensive perfumes. Anyway, rant over. I do feel slightly better. Now, where are my gold-plated gaiters? Well, that's it for this week's podcast. It's looking like one of the 2 weekend days here is going to be fine, so that's a bonus. I also bought a t-shirt online that arrived this week that I was going to wear for walking, and the logo was printed upside down. Thank goodness for refunds. So I hope you enjoyed this week's walkingpost.com podcast, and I hope that you have a great week, hopefully with a walk or three somewhere in the mix. So until next time, happy trails! Walking Post from walkingpost.com is an Air Coastal Media Limited production.